I control the levers, the dials, the knobs.
Okay.
The vertical and the horizontal.
I'll be the assistant.
Good morning, assistant. How are you doing?
I'm fine, knob controller.
Did you call me
Does
a knob?
Does that make any sense?
Did you call me a knob or knob?
I don't know what I called you.
You're their knob.
Nothing makes sense this morning. How are you, James?
You know, getting by.
Oh, good. I have one quick question.
What's that?
Do you know anyone who went to RISD? I'm trying to look into it for someone who wants to know if their programs are worthwhile. I just can't.
Well, just so you know, I actually graduated there myself.
I keep forgetting.
Have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Industrial Design from the Rhode Island School of Design.
Okay. We'll talk after the show. Slip my mind.
Oh, no. We can spend the whole show talking about RISD. Because it's important.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good morning.
What would you like to know about RISD?
I don't know.
I went there 20 years ago, so what do I know?
I'm just pulling your leg. On the way over here, I just need to say something.
Yeah.
Phoenix looks like it's been rode hard and put away wet.
How so?
There's just a lot of stuff that's closed.
Oh, well, that's not how I think of rode hard and put away wet.
I don't know. I just thought of that. But yeah, the highball was, I think it was at the highball or whatever. We used to go there. Cheryl's son used to play there, like EDM music. That was all boarded up. And of course, Easley's Fun Shop has been gone. But it just seemed like...
I spoke to someone from Easley's. Well, not directly with Easley's, but
really?
John Fitzsimmons did a lot of work with them because they actually gave him his start, his interest in he's a magician.
Mm-hmm.
That's where his interest came from, was from visiting Easley as
a
kid.
Such a cool place.
And then he wound up working with them to set at least one Guinness Book of World Records.
Wow.
With their help, he set, I think it was something along the lines of, the most costumes worn in a 10-hour period or something like that.
Really?
And he used, because Easley's has costumes, so he went there. So he had a very intimate relationship with Easley's.
Yeah, I just saw that building, and it still says all of that, but it just kind of made me sad driving down McDowell.
And they closed before the pandemic.
Yeah, it wasn't a pandemic closure, but it's still, like when you see everything else kind of boarded up, and, you know, I just was remembering different things.
And
like
it's a sign of a bygone era when you had little stores selling costumes and magic stuff, and of course now if you wanted this, you'd have to go to Costco or Target.
Right.
Or what's the one that comes and goes, the seasonal holiday, Halloween?
Those Halloween shops or whatever?
Yeah, what's that called?
Halloween
Spirit
shop?
Of Halloween?
I don't know.
I think it's called the Spirit of Halloween. Oh, so you know, they'll come in and they'll rent a vacated space for a couple of months.
Yeah, it's just
months.
Like a pop-up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of a pop-up. It's just funny. That's the new cultural touchstone. We went there a couple of years ago. For a couple of years, we went there to get costumes for my son.
Uh-huh.
It was okay. It felt weird, though. I always kind of wanted to work there. Because I figured it would be a weird place to work with weird people.
Probably would be.
I don't know why that draws me. I kind of want to be weird, I guess.
Maybe. No, I don't know. It's just seeing some of the boarded up stuff, it kind of got to me. I guess I just hadn't been driving down that way.
Well, we don't have boarded up stuff around here.
No, no.
Our neighborhood certainly suffers a little bit from over-flipping.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of other detritus.
Okay.
You sent an article to me, I don't know, last month when I wasn't paying attention. I'm
right.
Sorry.
I think you were probably in New York.
Yeah, it was that, but I also don't generally pay attention to you. Well, not you. It's not you. It's just your emails.
Oh, my gosh. And then you tell me to email.
Well, no, but the texts just annoy the crap out of me. Thankfully,
you're just hard to reach, James.
You are so much better about that. Thank you so much for not texting me three times in a row at 2
well,
a.m.
Texter,
anymore.
I'm not an emailer, so this
that
is a whole
is
new
so
paradigm
lame.
Back
you're
to like,
too old for texting.
No, I like texting. It's terse. It's fast. It's
okay,
in and out.
Okay, but this is a professional endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Email is professional. Texting is not.
Yeah, but okay.
I mean, any good assistant should know that.
Oh, okay. Thanks for pointing that out.
Just want to go on record. I say that only so I can go on record as saying that for some reason, someone thought that Catherine was my assistant. Catherine is not my assistant. She is the boss. I mean, she's the co-host. She does the show notes, and she brings most of the content.
Thank you.
And she brings her own coffee, because apparently my coffee is terrible. Well, actually...
No, I just make it, and if I don't drink it, I throw it out.
My coffee is terrible, though. It's
No, it's good.
It comes out of a Keurig.
Keurig?
It was made probably 10 years ago. It's been sitting on the shelf in Costco for 12. It was made 10 years ago, but it's been sitting on the shelf for 12 years.
I don't think they were 12 years old, were they?
What?
Keurigs?
Keurig has been around forever.
Oh, has?
No, it's not forever, but it's been around for a while. I remember my father-in-law, in what was probably a very nice gesture, sent us one I want to say in like 2006 or 2007, something like that. And at the time, neither I nor my wife drank coffee. So we got this huge monstrous machine. It's like, well, this looks really expensive, but we have absolutely no use for it. So thanks a lot.
What'd you do with it?
I'm pretty sure we sold it. Oh my God. Either sold it or gave it away.
Oh, right.
We got re-gifting. Rid of it, though. We got rid of it pretty quickly.
That's too bad. Now here you are.
Oh, yeah. I've gone to the bottom of the barrel. I started drinking coffee several years ago because my wife was drinking it because it was, it's like a prophylactic for headaches.
Oh,
like
it is?
Yeah. It helps to reduce your chance of getting a headache because it opens up the vascular things.
It's a vasodilator.
What she said. yeah. So my wife used to drink it, well, not a lot, but she would drink it at least once a day. So as a gift, I got her a fancy but inexpensive coffee making system. Mm-hmm. It's one of these really hipster things. It was a AeroPress.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it was very cheap, but, well, inexpensive, but demanding. It took a lot of work to get, well, not a lot of work, but it took work to get it done. A lot more work than the Keurig did, which is why I actually wound up with a Keurig eventually, because I didn't want to spend 10 minutes making coffee. You know, the Keurig, I turn on, I press a button, and I come back.
And it's done.
30 seconds later, and it's all done. It's like, wow, I can't beat that. Is the quality the same? No, but I have no taste. I am a terrible person when it comes to coffee, so I don't care.
Yeah, I do the whole grinding of the beans.
The grinding of... First, it grinds the beans.
Grind the beans. No, and then I have a little French press that I like to use. And
do you have a burr grinder?
A burr grinder.
Oh, boy. Are you not using a burr grinder?
I don't know what the hell I'm using. I have two grinders that grind.
Were they very expensive? One I use for spices.
No, they're just like you stick the coffee in, you press the top, and it goes, and you're done.
It goes, zhrp.
Yeah, pretty much. Louder than that.
Does it sound like a really high frequency like drill that you'd use
at the
dentist?
Yeah, pretty high.
Yeah, because a regular cheap grinder just tears all the coffee up into small, basically into dust.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. That's too fine.
No, I can't get it fine.
You want a burr grinder. Well, maybe you have a burr grinder.
Maybe
burr grinder grinds it, but leaves larger chunks, which is better for brewing in most cases.
Yeah, it does leave larger chunks.
I should assume that you always have the more expensive thing.
I don't know.
Because
I
you always seem to have the more expensive
thing. Well, I have two, and I use one for spices and one for the coffee beans.
Well, having two different ones suggests that you probably have a burr grinder.
Okay. So now we've settled that.
Yeah, but even that's too much work because cleaning out the French press is a lot more work.
It's a pain in the...
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not that, but it's all steel and glass, but it's still, you got to
get rid
of the grinds.
No, but that stuff gets in there and then you've got to be careful because you don't want to put any kind of coffee grounds in your sink.
Why not?
Because like the plumber told me that it's really bad for the plumbing, particularly in old houses like I live in and you have here. And he said, stay away from putting coffee.
Well,
so I'm like obsessed now with rinsing it and putting it in the...
I wouldn't dump a whole cup of grounds in there. But
No. He's like, any grounds.
Oh, I think that's nonsense. I mean, yeah. We'll do a follow-up.
Well,
I even got
the mesh nets now, the little nets.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What, do you have a disposal? Disposal?
I do, and I want to get rid of it.
Oh, yeah, those are so stupid.
I don't use it.
They're barbaric is what they are.
I need to get rid of it. When we redo the kitchen again, I'm going to get rid of the disposal.
Yeah, just go in there with a sledgehammer, knock it out, and just, you know, get some hose to hook up the drain pipe.
A sledgehammer?
Yeah, knock the shit out of that thing. Those things really are disgusting.
My plumbing is so tenuous. Yeah, I don't use it. I don't.
Good. My mother, she moved into a new place, where I was in October, and she was apoplectic at the idea of not having disposal.
Mm-mm.
So she didn't feel like they were fully moved in until they got one. They did put one in for her, but I kept telling her it's barbaric. It's really barbaric.
Well, I think it's not good for the plumbing, particularly in the older houses.
It's bad for everything.
It's bad for everything.
It's bad for the septic system.
Right.
Well, not the septic. I'm sorry. If you're like most people on city water and city sewer, you know, it causes a lot more trouble to treat that water if it's got a bunch of crap in it, as opposed to just water.
Right.
Gray water.
Yeah.
Ugh, nasty. It's just nasty. You're putting food down there and then grinding it up so that it can go down the pipes.
It's just
can just put it in the trash.
Exactly. Or compost stuff, too. I mean,
that's a little bit more difficult unless you're on a strict vegetarian diet because, you know, you don't want to mix the milk products and the meat products and whatnot in your compost.
Yeah, I had like a little thing. I don't do it anymore. And then, you know, obviously my compost history
Horror
is not
story.
Good.
Story.
It's not good.
No.
We're not going back there. But anyway. Well, so what else is going on?
How did we get off on disposals?
I have no clue. It's just one of those mornings.
All right. I guess we can just finish that thought.
Okay. Okay.
Subrant Podcast does not endorse or condone the use of disposals.
Exactly.
We are more evolved. We can put strainers in our thing and just put
strainers,
it in.
Strainers, yes.
Of course, this is a little bit easier since I don't do a lot of cooking with meat. I do occasionally, but not much.
Yeah.
And I think that may complicate things because you don't want that in your trash as much. But still. God, okay, no, really, we're done now with disposals.
Okay, yes.
I think. I just wish I could remember how the hell we got there.
I don't know. It's a blur.
We were trying to talk about detritus, though, and what people leave in their library books.
Yes. I think that was... I sent this article to you.
This is the only good article I think I've ever read in Art News. And it's really strange because it's not just a good article for Art News. It's just a good article. Mm-hmm. It was an article about a really dull thing. I mean, you start in the library, mm-hmm. which is not the most exciting place to start
right.
to begin with. But you had one librarian who, over the course of their career, had collected 20 years worth of things that they pulled out of books that people left there, like pictures or mm-hmm. train tickets or playing cards, whatever they use basically as a bookmark and just forgot to take out. Because
right.
I guess they didn't finish the book. It's my assumption. And then that person passed it on to another librarian. That librarian has carried it around for another 10 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started showing it. They're putting a little display of what people had left in their mm-hmm. books. And then, because this is 2021, someone did a TikTok on it and it went viral.
It went viral.
And the librarian in question who put the show on is like, was genuinely and reasonably perplexed as to why people care.
I wasn't perplexed at all. I found it very sweet. She's an unlikely TikTok sensation.
Well, isn't everybody though? I mean, well, I shouldn't say
I don't
everyone.
Know.
There are the genuine interesting things on TikTok, mm-hmm. the genuine TikTok sensations, mm-hmm. of course, they're always surprised that they become sensationalized.
Right.
The people who are on there who manipulate the algorithms and are on there to basically sell their own crap.
And try. They try
real are hard. Pretty disgusting.
Yeah, I don't, again.
But it's the happy accidents, which are the ones that are really delightful on TikTok.
Yeah, I just thought this was sweet.
This is almost a happy accident. I find it a little bit disturbing because I don't understand the nostalgic strings that it's pulling on me to mm-hmm. interest me so much, but there is something deeply, it calls to me. I want to see the little things that people leave behind like this, the train tickets, the receipts, the pictures. I mean, how can you leave your bridal picture in there?
I know, Blockbuster.
I mean, you probably
stubs.
Have a bunch of them, but Blockbuster what?
It said Blockbuster stubs. When did Blockbuster close?
Well, that would be interesting, too, because you can, it's like a little time capsule. You
it
can
is
see,
a time capsule.
I actually did a little bit of this myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was back home in New York helping my parents pack up, and one of the big jobs, because my father is an academic nutcase.
Okay.
He has, I don't know, thousands of books. We didn't count them, but there are a lot of books. And we were going through them and, deciding whether he wanted to keep them or not keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's read almost all of them, some of them and all the way through because, it's not worth reading all books.
Right.
As we were going through them, I was pulling out things like that. Like he would have notes and receipts and all kinds of things. And I kept making a pile of these things because I found them interesting. And then I would turn around and someone had thrown out my pile.
Oh, no.
So I don't think I actually wound up getting any of them, but I was interested.
So you had your own time capsule.
Well, I did, and it's now in the dump somewhere in Westchester. But
oh,
part of the reason was I just on the off chance that I might have to travel back in time at some point to talk to my father about something, it would be really handy to have to know exactly when he was, where he was at a particular time. And I could do that because he left the receipts in the books when and where he bought them. So I knew, January 2nd. 1981, he was at a specific bookstore in New York when he bought this particular book, exactly at 2:02 in the afternoon.
I do that, though.
Travel back in time to talk to my father?
No, I leave the receipts in the book.
Why are you traveling back in time to talk to my father?
I'm not traveling back in time to talk to
you.
Well,
good. You shouldn't do that.
I've done the same thing. I leave the receipt in the book.
Well, who buys books anymore? I can't do that with my Kindle books.
The Kindle books. You said something about, you don't know why this is tugging on your nostalgic
heartstrings. Yeah, I don't know why it's tugging on me.
I have a thought about that because I think books are very personal. And that's personal in a way because you're actually holding something and looking at it, flipping through the pages. And it's not just another piece of electronics in front of you.
Mm.
And so I think when you're touching it and holding it, it's just such a tactile experience. And I still miss going to bookstores. I still miss Borders Books and Music.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a place I used to love to go. Oh, I just loved Borders. And I haven't been in a bookstore in a long time. I've also found things in books that I purchased secondhand.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, just some interesting things.
Like secondhand books are good. Actually, that's one of the things that fueled our discussion on Basquiat versus Rockwell. I have this amazingly beautiful Rockwell book that I bought at a secondhand store for peanuts. You know, it was like maybe 10, 12 bucks or something like that for these huge print books of prints.
Right. Half price books. That's where I bought those books. We were talking earlier. I don't know if they're still there.
I think at least one of them closed.
Okay. Yeah. And I bought a great book of the Bhagavad Gita, and inside someone obviously was studying it. It was when I was doing yoga teacher training many years ago. And the only reason I bought the book wasn't because it was the version of the Bhagavad Gita that I was looking for, the translation, but it had notes in it from this person's studies. They were handwritten. He didn't mark up the book. He wrote little notes and inserted it.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Into each page.
That's really anal.
It was really anal, and his writing was very tiny and beautiful. I hope I still have that somewhere.
I guess it shows human behavior to some degree. And one of the other things that was interesting about the article was that once they posted this online, a bunch of other librarians came forward and said, oh yeah, we've been doing that for years.
We do the same thing. That's what they were saying.
It seems like a shared experience.
It's just interesting. It's kind of like this little, I mean, you know, particularly with older books or with library books, that other people have handled them before you. But now you're getting a glimpse into who that person was or
is. It's like a very, not insubstantial, but very cursory, just like almost passing someone on the street.
It's just this little glimmer of that moment for them. Like they stuck the Blockbuster receipt or a picture of their kid or handwritten notes.
I mean, I do all my reading electronically now, but there is something that I miss about books. I tell you, one of the things I miss about reading books when they were in physical form is when I'm reading on the Kindle, I don't know what the title of the book is because I open up the Kindle app and I never see the title. I don't ever see the cover. I never see the title. So I'm just reading the book itself. So it's a lot easier to forget what the actual title is or who the author is. When you're picking up an actual physical book, the first thing you see is the title. Regardless of whether you actually stop to take a moment to see it, you recognize it. So it's kind of weird to be kind of lost in a book like that.
Yes.
Books do, I think, hold a strange place in the world of artifacts because regardless of whether it's a physical book or a Kindle book, a book pours information into your brain.
Yes.
Which is a very unusual kind of thing. You know, old tools are interesting too, but not the way books are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's more, maybe it's more of a personal relationship and it does one thing. And there's more of a sense of that when you can pick up a used book, especially if there's something in it. I think that's really the key to it. The old books are one thing. You don't know if anybody's ever interacted with an old book.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pick up an old book and you find a stub from something that someone just kind of randomly threw in there as a bookmark, you know they were actively engaged with the book.
Exactly.
And it's almost more heartfelt when it's a random piece of something that they're using as a bookmark rather than an actual bookmark. Because then it seems more, not calculated, but more thought about. It's like they're going through the process of reading a book, so they have a bookmark. Whereas if there's just a ticket stub from a Metro North line in there, it's so much more, they had to stop reading the book at that moment, and that's what they had in their hand.
Exactly. Yes, really. And again, I love this sentence. It said, Baudet's work is an almost archaeological record of sentimentality, small moments lost to time.
Yeah, probably the best line written in any Art News article ever.
I thought that was just beautiful.
But maybe that's part of it, is that you're almost like picking the pocket of someone who's been gone, or it's almost like picking someone's pocket, because it's whatever they had in their pocket that they're putting in the book. No one ever thinks to record that kind of thing. Well, I'm sure there's some tedious people on YouTube or Twitter that do that, but that's the difference between some of these other quote artists who are doing things like that. There was also in the article you mentioned someone who was picking up the old rosaries from
Tom Kiefer.
Yeah, and he was picking up discarded rosaries from, like, border stations or something?
Yeah, left behind by ICE detainees while he worked at a border facility as a janitor.
I find that to be a lot more shallow because it's a much more conscious act.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really find that interesting.
I don't see them as similar.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it's kind of in the same neighborhood, but it's not as nice of a neighborhood.
No.
It's not Coronado.
No, it's not Coronado.
Well, actually, Coronado is kind of, well, used to be the leftovers. It's not so much anymore.
No, it's not so much anymore. No, and that was one thing, and it was like for one purpose and rosaries. I get that. This is so much more almost ethereal in a way.
Random.
And random, yes. Random.
I can't believe we spent 10 minutes talking about bookmarks.
I do want to share a quick story. When I was volunteering at the Bead Museum many years ago, Mrs. Lizet, who had the bead collection and the jewelry collection, as she referred to it, had also cut loose toward the end of her life of her books. And she had just this library of books, and she would come down from Prescott with her husband, and we'd unpack books. And they had built a little library section in the museum, and she would go through it. And I would sit there with her on Wednesdays, and she would take out every book, and she knew where she got it, how she got it, why she got it. And we would go through. And she said to me one day, she said, "Catherine, all of the stuff in the museum is very dear to me." She said, "But the hardest thing to cut loose of isn't the jewelry. It's this collection."
The books.
It was the books. And she had letters from different collectors and from bead scholars. And there was a whole, all this ephemera. It was very interesting. And I've often wondered what happened to that when the museum closed.
Well, the books, again, I think the reason, one of the reasons they're different is because it's almost like each book is a brick in your intellectual house.
Exactly.
What builds you as a person intellectually? So you can remember that and maybe not remember specifically how it changed you, but that on some level, you know, it did change you.
It did change you. Yes. Yes. So, yeah, I just thought of that as we were talking about that. I hadn't thought of the Bead Museum for a while, or actually the library part of it, but I remember saying that.
I don't know if it's important, but obviously this is going to be a big shift that we're going through right now in society. We don't have things like that as much as we used to,
no. Right?
Because we're reading everything on our phones. We're taking pictures on our phones. And Yes. Granted, a lot of those memories are going to be stored on Facebook for all of eternity. You know, that's the trade-off that we're making. I mean, my son will be able to go back and see pictures of him and his world far more continuously than I can. You know, there's a point at which, you know, I don't have any pictures from I have a handful of pictures from college, almost nothing from high school. You know, it just wasn't part of the gig back then.
Right.
Even though I was shooting film, I was actually taking pictures for the yearbook, so I probably have more than most, but
right.
I certainly don't have any tweets from then.
Oh, no. No, it is a trade-off. That's an interesting observation. But my question is, what happens if the lights go out? Do they have those memories?
Well, no. Obviously, that's one of the trade-offs. There was a terrible TV show about that where all the power got cut off. And one of the rare moments of interest in the show was a woman was holding on to her cell phone years after the power had gone off, and you know, had been years since she'd been able to turn it on. And she's told to one of the other characters, you know, "I keep this because this has pictures of my children on it."
Wow.
And she hadn't seen the children since that fateful day the lights went out. And she says,
"Oh my God,
I can't remember what my children look like, but their pictures are still on this phone, so I keep it."
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it's not worth seeing the series for that because the series was terrible, as most TV shows are.
I'm watching a good one right now, but we won't talk about it.
Is it from Korea?
Yeah.
Okay, then we will not talk about it.
Yeah, kept me up last night. Binging.
Oh, okay.
Binging?
Don't binge. Oh, my God. How hard is it not to binge? How hard is that?
I just start knitting and binging. Not binging like food or alcohol. I'm just binging watching. And it's just, it does get ridiculous.
Well, I have a recommendation. If you watch The Expanse.
No.
It's a sci-fi show.
Okay.
It's on Amazon Prime. As a sci-fi enthusiast.
Yes.
With a RISD degree.
Yes.
I actually love The Expanse. I think it's one of the best sci-fi shows of all time.
Is it on Netflix?
No, I just said it was on Amazon Prime.
Oh, Amazon Prime. I don't have Amazon Prime.
Catherine, it would be helpful as an assistant to listen to me once in a while.
Well, you said Amazon Prime, and then since I don't have it, I wanted to make it Netflix.
I'm sorry. I should have said Amazon Prime Video.
Okay.
But this is clearly one of the reasons how you can't possibly be my assistant because you're not actually listening to me.
I was listening, but my mind goes different places.
That's Sorry. Not listening.
I know.
Because your mind, you're busy thinking of your own mind rather than listening to my mind.
Oh, my God.
My mind.
I haven't had enough coffee.
Oh, give it up.
I haven't.
You have.
No, I haven't.
Well, I've got more. I've got it on tap, basically, with the Keurig, thankfully.
With the Keurig.
And I go, you know, I go to Costco and I buy box loads of Keurig cups. I have like 120 cups in there. And they're, my brother-in-law tries to mock me for using Keurig. And I'll take it all day long, the criticisms. Because like I said, I know it's not great coffee. But he says, you know, like that's one of the most expensive materials on the planet is curry, you know, the coffee you buy at the Craig, so it's so overpriced. Like, dude, I buy it at Costco. My coffee literally costs me 28 cents a cup. How much does your coffee cost? I'll bet it's a lot more than mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I get those organic beans.
Sub-rant over.
Sub-rant over. Oh, my gosh.
How much do you pay for your beans?
On a good day, they're $7.99 a pound at Sprouts.
That's not too bad.
No, no. And so usually it's like $10.99. We're just like the real low-budget podcast.
Yeah, I'm using a $25 mic today.
Oh, wow.
Can you tell the difference? Does it make me sound old-timey or something? I don't know.
Does mine sound better?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Because I won't know until I start editing.
We'll have to have a mic off. Oh, that sounds weird. I'm sorry. Just rewind.
No. There's nothing to rewind. What do you think I am? I'm not recording
not,
this.
Like analog.
I'm not recording this on tape. Going right into the MacBook.
If only we were. Speaking of MacBook.
Why would you want to have it on a tape?
No, I don't know. It just.
When you did that, I'd literally be splicing the tape and taping it back together with tape.
Oh my God.
That's how you did it in the old days. Or I guess if you were fancy, you could just record it onto another tape. But, you know, when you in the old days of editing tape or audio and video, not video, film, you would literally cut it
awful.
And tape it back together.
Right.
Well, in some ways, yeah. But it's also, you know, you're not going to lose your project because it didn't save properly.
That's true.
There are upsides and downsides. And you tend to put more effort into getting it right when you shoot it.
Uh-huh.
And that requires less editing to begin with, so.
Right.
You know.
Have you ever gone to a thrift store or a secondhand store?
No. Yes.
No, and found, like, periodically, like, the tins of old movies?
Mm-hmm. I've never picked one up.
I picked one up. I didn't purchase it.
I wouldn't do film, but I would look through slides or mm-hmm. or negatives or stuff like that just to see what's in there.
Yeah, it's just, and I was like, gosh, I wonder how degraded this is or what it's from. And I just really wanted the tin, but then it felt disingenuous too.
Oh no, it's all right. I mean, if someone's already discarded it. If I was in that the position where I just need one of the tin, I would still take a cursory look at the film to see what was on there with a handy dandy light table.
Oh, I have access to one.
Just to make sure there wasn't anything important or scandalous.
Oh my gosh. See, right. You don't even know what you're buying. But no, I just kind of looked at it and the guy at the store, he was like, oh, I think it's kind of, he goes, some of them are really jacked up and mm-hmm. they're friable.
Right.
And I'm like, I didn't want to deal with this. I just felt like I couldn't separate
them. Well, if it's
them.
Degrading, you can just throw it out and not feel bad about it.
Yeah, I just felt bad. I couldn't do it.
Well, you're being silly.
I was being silly. That happens in this brain. I get silly a lot. Oh, my gosh.
Did you have a point before we got off track?
I don't know. Did
okay,
I?
Okay, I don't know. You were talking about going to the thrift store.
Oh, no, just about, like, finding the, because I just remember seeing there was, like, this huge collection in a box of these big reels, and it was almost like this. They were like old movie. They were big. It wasn't like someone's.
Oh, well, that would have been more interesting.
House. It might have been worth.
If it had been 35mm film, that would have been interesting to look at. It may have just been from a movie theater. You may have had actually movies in there.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Like
I blew
Gone
it.
With the Wind, or the unedited version of Star Wars. That would be worth having.
Did they put those still on the real, on those?
Well, in Star Wars, you know, when the original 1978, when right. it came out, or 77, I can't remember what day, what year it was, but when it came out, that was all shot on and viewed on film up well into, I don't know when they switched to digital, but it's not been that long.
Wow. And that was such a blockbuster.
I was just watching The Matrix again, which was 1999, and
I love that movie.
It is a great movie. And it's I mean, I think there's too much violence in it, but I can get past that.
Yeah.
But I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I can see that this was shot on film. You can see it.
I'll have to rewatch it.
Well, I can see it, because I've got a good eye, because I went to RISD.
Uh-huh.
I have a very refined eye.
You probably do.
Very advanced.
Was that like a class you had to take?
Oh, no. It's just the general milieu of RISD. You pick up an appreciation for all kinds of things.
I see. Very good.
Is there anything else you want to talk about today, or should we just wrap it up?
I want to talk about gratitude because this is going to be like, you're trying to get out of it.
Oh, I totally forgot about it.
I was talking our former guest.
Well, can I just say how ungrateful I am that I'm so ungrateful that I forgot about gratitude?
No, we were, you know, kind of chatting back and forth. Like she's in Malaysia, but, you know, we communicate frequently. And she was talking about how grateful she was of things. I'm like, oh, gosh, that's a great idea. I'm going to just, you know, kind of put a little feeler out there and see if anyone wants to participate. And several listeners wanted to have a little gratitude moment. So I'm going to read some of the things they sent to the podcast.
Are they grateful for the podcast?
I am.
Are they?
Let me read.
I only want to hear things about me, so go ahead.
Okay. So Ing from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, said, I have so much to be grateful for this year. Oh my God, where do I start? I've been hospitalized twice this year, so I'm grateful for my parents who were there for me. Dad drove me to every hospital follow-up. Mom accompanied me to the doctors and cooked nutritious meals for me. I'm glad just to be able to swallow food because earlier this year I couldn't even swallow my meds or water. I'm also grateful that my family remembered my birthday and celebrated with me even though I spent half the day at the hospital. I'm especially grateful to my ex-colleague who, despite going through chemo herself, took time to comfort me. Finally, even though I was cruelly given an offer to leave with compensation after 13 years of service, I tried to see it as a blessing in disguise. I get to leave a toxic environment and can finally take full credit for my ideas, stories, and my journalism award. My parents were supportive and encouraged me to leave to care for my physical and mental health. So I'm really thankful that my parents have never pushed me to get or keep a job and always tell me to care for my health first. And I thought that was so sweet. And I just want to thank her again. Thank you, Ing, for being on the podcast. You were our first international guest.
So is she unemployed now?
No, I think she does. She does some freelance stuff, but this was like the grind job.
Well, it sounds like she's unemployed, so she should come back on the show because, you know, join the rest of us on.
Join the rest of us. Ing, do you hear that? Join the rest of us. And this kind of got into the Tropic Escape group. And so Kim from Colorado wrote to me and said, I'm thankful for my family, my kids, husband, parents, and even though we don't live nearby, I'm thankful that we have a close relationship. I'm thankful for my health, home, and dogs, and I'm grateful I was able to start a nonprofit to help children with literacy. I wanted to have her on the show to talk about that. She's thinking about it.
We have a link for that?
I don't have a link. I'll have to get a link. And she also said, I'm grateful for my sweet farm friends, the farm people, us, who got me through the pandemic with their kindness and chats.
Mm.
So thanks, Kim. And our little group in Tropic Escape has been fun. Cheryl from Phoenix wrote, I'm grateful for healthy friends and family who have supported me through these painful years.
Well, that's nice and concise.
That was concise. And Heather from Chandler said, I'm thankful for my health, happiness, family, and friends, and I'm thankful for those who check on me from time to time. It's nice to be surrounded by amazing people.
I hope you're not expecting me to just roll out any of my gratitudes, because I'm not good at that.
You're not good at that?
No, I do things. I don't say things.
Oh, because you're not a word guy.
Pretty much.
Is this boring?
No, it's interesting that people are actually writing into you.
I know, right? There's four more.
I mean, I feel... Let's wrap it up. No, keep going.
No, Susan from Tucson wrote, first, my family is grateful that we did not get COVID because of the science of a vaccine. I'm grateful that I am having a remission from my fibromyalgia that allows me to work as a nurse. I'm also grateful for you, my friend. I think she's talking about me. We have developed a wonderful friendship during a dark period of our lives. During rough times, a friend that you know is there for you is quite uplifting.
Mm, yep.
Isn't that sweet? And then Jim from Tucson also wrote, we have listeners in Tucson.
Is that international?
No, it's kind of local. Sub-local, because they're south of us.
Yes. Oh, they're subs now.
Yeah, they're sub-local. Yeah, so
they're
Jim,
higher, though. They're higher elevation,
but
so they're above us.
See, I always get confused, because it is a higher elevation, but they're south of Phoenix.
It still makes them higher.
Okay, so they're not sub-local?
Do you understand that the planet is not flat? It is, in fact, a sphere.
Oh, I thought it was... I was a flat earther for a minute there.
Well, I can explain it to you.
No,
it's
okay. I get it. So anyway, so from not sub-local, Jim from Tucson said, I'm so grateful to have retired this week. Right? Right on, Jim. After a successful career as a respiratory therapist, I've been overwhelmed and touched by the show of true gratitude from my fellow coworkers, both past and present, and even the physicians who let me know that my years of work and dedication to our patients was appreciated and will be missed. It meant so much to me. That's really cool, because doctors usually don't say anything.
Is he
a doctor?
Jim,
no, he was a respiratory therapist. But 30 years in and COVID, you know, see things you don't want to see again, I guess. And it was time to go, and I'm happy for you, Jim. Chris from Tucson just wrote me a quick liner, and he said, I'm super grateful to have a chance to start my mechanical engineering career at Raytheon.
That sounds awesome.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck. And then Jess, the final one from Tucson, said, I'm grateful for my tailoring class because I really enjoy it. Mostly, I'm super grateful that my friend and I made it to the Harry Styles concert just as it started after I crashed my car on the 101 driving to the concert.
Yikes.
Thanks to the Phoenix police escort, we made it on time.
So who was that?
Jess.
Jess. Well, sounds like we need to get Jess and Ing together so that Ing can do some designs and Jess can do some.
Jess is an amazing fashion designer.
Her.
She's a sewer.
Well, maybe she doesn't need
to. She designs and she does all kinds of stuff.
Or maybe she can encourage Ing to learn how to sew.
Yes, Ing. Right.
Ing,
not
the
sewer.
We're a little early for 2022 resolutions, but I think Ing should learn how to sew.
I think we should
do
a resolution show maybe where we'll take resolutions.
Boy, that sounds tedious.
That sounds tedious, but fun.
Only to me, because I'm a terrible person.
Do you have anything you're grateful
God, no.
for?
Not that I can. I don't speak. That's not a topic I'm good on speaking about.
Yeah, because I wanted, well, you know, I talked to Melinda and I'd asked her, like, would she want to come on? She's like, yeah, but there's so much going on.
I will say this. I am appreciative that people like Melinda exist.
Oh, me too.
She's amazing.
And she wants to come on the show in December and we're going to do a little year roundup.
She was invited to be part of the show.
I know, Melinda.
But she ghosted us.
No, she didn't ghost us.
She just rejected. I think rightly so.
She just rejected us.
Rightly so.
Probably a good move.
I mean, why would she want to be part of this every week? Once in a while is one thing, but God, can you imagine having to do this every week?
I love doing it every week.
Well, there you go.
And so I'm grateful, too, that I got to spend a lot of time with my parents during this really weird time, and I learned how to make pizza crust.
Oh, that's good. The pizza crust part, anyway.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, I wrote a little poem.
Oh, boy.
I said, during this crazy upside-down time, I'm grateful for so many things. The friends that stayed, the friends that strayed, the friends who are taking a time out, and the friends who bubbled up unexpectedly from the La Brea tar pits of life.
God, that'd be a lot better than my poetry would be.
That's my poem. And I'm grateful
to
you,
right.
James.
I remember now that we were supposed to get your whole blog going with
I
your
know
poetry.
We'll get it going. You're that's a 2022.
We were going to do recordings of that, I can't remember what you called it, but
the
letters
the second
from the
Civil
front.
War lover
yeah,
letters.
Man.
That was,
those
were
so
hilarious.
Good.
Yeah. That.
Like I said, one or two things, or both things can happen. We need to, we need to record them. Secondly, we can either, throw one letter at the end of every podcast just as a closer.
Right.
And you could also be TikToking them or Instagramming them.
Well, I tried TikTok with my camera set up, and it is way harder than anyone makes it look.
Okay, but it's not that hard to just read off a poem.
No, not to read off a poem. I was trying to make a pancake in the shape of an ohm symbol.
Yeah, don't get complicated. Start
it was
simple.
Just crazy. So, yeah, I do want to say thank you, James. I'm grateful to you for calling me.
It's kind of you to say.
With the crazy idea about a podcast.
No, it wasn't crazy.
And I didn't think before saying okay.
Neither did Christopher.
Neither did Christopher. So no, this gets me out of the house. I really have appreciated this.
Well, I think that's important for both of us.
And I'm also grateful to our guests. Thanks for playing, guys. Ken Clark, Christopher, Ing,
Furman,
DJ Leary, and Misha.
Is that all we've had?
That's it.
All right. I guess we'll have to have some.
Seems like a lot more.
Some more, yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to do a little Thanksgiving thing.
Yep, that's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for whatever it's worth. I don't do turkey. We do dim sum.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing this year because my wife is working. And
awesome.
We've been invited. I think we've been invited to a relative.
Uh-huh.
But that's not clear when we probably wouldn't be on time anyway. So I don't know what we're doing. We
right.
might be getting Thai food.
Right. We're not. It coincides with my dad's birthday. And I'm sorry. I'm making noises.
Are you tapping now?
No, I'm tapping. Yeah. It coincides with my dad's birthday. And he doesn't like turkey. And I was so excited. I thought, oh, my gosh, Fry's has turkeys for 79 cents a pound.
Holy cow.
And I said that to him. And he said, that's great for someone who likes turkey. He's like, don't bring one home. So I think I'm just going to order in some dim sum. I'll go pick it up at our favorite dim sum place.
Yeah, I think it's too late for us to order from Cracker Barrel, but I have this deep need some year to order Cracker Barrel Thanksgiving meal.
Oh, wow.
I think you got to be really on top of that, though, because I think they sell out pretty quickly.
Yeah, you could do it at Sprouts, too. You can still order.
Yeah, it's not Cracker Barrel. Sprouts is too foo-foo. That's one of the reasons I went to my Keurig eventually, because I don't remember if it was, yeah, I think it was Sprouts I was going to buy my coffee. And I would try to buy the same kind every time.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be the same.
No.
The beans would change. And it's like, that's not what I bought last time. I mean, and I wouldn't know this, of course, until I've got a pound of coffee at home.
Right.
Thinking, this is not what I wanted. You know, they're filling the same, the slot with different beans. And that's just not kosher, man. That ain't kosher.
That ain't kosher.
So, at least with Keurig, even if it might not be greatest coffee, at least it's consistent and cheap.
Do you do anything with the curry cups? Do you make any art?
No, I put them in the trash.
Oh, okay.
Well, they will go directly to the landfill and not bother anyone ever.
Okay.
It's so funny that people make a big deal about how uncompostable they are. You know, they don't break down. Yeah, neither does anything else. And one curry cup is a lot less worse than one Starbucks cup, because those don't break down either, and they're a lot bigger.
They
so
are
don't
bigger.
Don't come at me.
I'm not coming at you. I started seeing like a 3D thing in my head.
Oh, I did think about it for a while, but it's kind of a hassle. If you think cleaning out a French press is a hassle, these things are a little bit more of a hassle. And some of them come now and they say, oh, you can recycle these. All you have to do is completely disassemble it, which is a pain in the neck because they're basically glued together.
Yeah, I wouldn't deal with that.
This is stupid.
No, because I saw like an art exhibit one time and they had used old nail polish bottles and different things like that. It was just really kind of cool. It wasn't anything I'd want to look at again, but for the moment, you know, and I'm like, oh, but I could just kind of see like on the wall, like this, you could do 3D stuff with those curry cups and spray paint it.
Yeah, I'll save them for you.
It'll join the rest of my pile of waste and the Lay's potato chip bags that are absolutely impossible to work with.
They're not impossible. Those are good stuff.
That's, oh, my God.
Anyway, I think we should wrap it up.
We should wrap it up.
We're just rambling now.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Ding, ding, ding.